always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider, as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside, joined on this fine, well, I don't know what you want to call it. I mean, it's like a great Mother's Day. I hope everybody had a great Mother's Day today and a great Mother's Day weekend. But, you know, for Lakers fans, probably not the best Sunday we've ever had, seeing as the Lakers are probably 24-ish hours or so from their season ending, it certainly feels like. But, yeah, it is certainly a Sunday, is what I will definitely say. On this Sunday, which is brought to you in part by Prize Picks, use that promo code HMA and play a $5 lineup and get $50 worth of free lineups on Prize Picks. On today's show, we're going to be talking about the Lakers being down 0-3. We're going to talk kind of quickly about the game that game three and what I kind of saw from it. And then, you know, obviously look ahead to tomorrow's game four. But I also want to talk about the lottery results and the way that that could shape the league here for a long time coming. And then when I did, I did this right after the lottery, and there were evidently a lot of people online. And so I was like, and by the way, if you guys see my eyes darting around the screen, I have the Minnesota game over there. I have Twitter up over here just in case anything kind of breaks in the meantime. I also am trying to do a lot more on this channel to provide you a reason for being here visibly. And that just requires some on-air production. So you're going to see my eyes kind of navigating that while I talk. But anyway, I sent a tweet out after the lottery asking for questions. It had been a long time since I went to Twitter for questions. And, today you guys came through. Holy cow, did you guys come through? By my count, we have basically 15 questions now. Or we have 15 replies to the tweet. I might have some people muted. So if you don't see your tweet there, hit me up and we'll figure out what's up there. You guys know I am quick with the block button. I'm quick with the mute button. People just get too nasty online and I just have no patience for that. But if you guys have any questions and stuff like that, that maybe you don't see covered in the Twitter Q&A, I go ahead and drop them in the comment section and I'll try to get to as many of those as I possibly can as well. So without any further ado, please hit that subscribe button. Please turn on notifications for the show and for YouTube. Please hit that like button as well. If you guys are listening in the morning via podcast, please subscribe wherever it is that you get those, preferably on Odyssey, but it all works the same for me. Let's go ahead and dive on in, starting with game three. So the final of game three was 131-108. And honestly, for much of the second half, it just was not a competitive game. Oklahoma City outscored the Lakers 33-20 in the third, and then they outscored the Lakers 41-29 in the fourth. And It reminded me of how teams looked against the bubble Lakers, the 2020 Lakers, where they used to just wear down teams, and it would be physically, it would be psychologically, it would just be this war of attrition playing against that Lakers team. And eventually you would start to see shoulders drop a little bit. A lot of walking around between possessions, not much communication, a lot of 1,000-yard stares. And in that second half, and this is a game, remember that the Lakers were up at halftime. They're up two going into the half. And yet it was, for one thing, immediately a dunk from OKC. LeBron answered, and then it was just a steady stream of bucket after bucket after bucket, stop after stop after stop. AJ Mitchell driving around anybody that he wanted to, specifically Austin Reeves a lot. And the Lakers just got handled. And it sucked to watch. This series has really sucked to watch. It's one of the more one-sided history. This honestly might be, I'd have to go back and look at the actual scores from the Lakers-Spurs series right after the Lakers lost Kobe to that Achilles tear. But this might wind up being one of, if not the most lopsided series in Lakers history. Now, obviously, there's no Luka. Obviously, the Thunder were a bad matchup for the Lakers, whether they had Luka or not. He played some of his ugliest games this season against the Thunder. So it's kind of hard to say, like, oh, yeah, he would. You just inject him into the series and the Lakers win this thing. Nope, not willing to go that far. I think this series has been absolutely critical in telling the Lakers and in teaching the Lakers in the front office how far they have to go. Not just from a roster standpoint, by the way. I think the coaching needs to get a lot better. You know, I think JJ has been excellent all year, and I think he has done just about everything you could possibly try to do in this series. And at the end of the day, he just doesn't quite have the horses. But, you know, I would, there are still some things I would like to see him dial up, and it's taken him a little while to dial some of those things up. I think more importantly than coaching, though, front office to front office and organization to organization, the Thunder and Lakers is it's just night and day. And it was funny because while I was setting up the show, right after I kind of set up the show, the very first comment I see, right, is from Mr. Burns, who apparently is a older OKC fan, beat by a better organization and roster. And this is what's been really funny about this series is Thunder fans swear up and down as if they're so, like, crazy disrespected, especially by, like, specifically by Lakers fans. If we point out that we think the refereeing sucks, that does not mean that we do not think that your team is good, and or that, like, the Lakers would be winning the series if only for these referees. No, the Thunder are clearly a lot better at basically everything pertaining to basketball, and especially as the Lakers are currently constituted. And this has just been an absolute ass kicking, right? Like, that's what JJ Redick said after the game. This has been a butt kicking, and you can do one of two things if you get your butt kicked, right? You can get your butt kicked and decide, all right, never fighting again, never playing that game again, never facing that big bad boss ever again. I finished the game where I finished the game, and you try to move on from there. Or, you know, this game really, or this series has really kind of reminded me, I don't know how many of you guys play Assassin's Creed, but in Assassin's Creed, or in a lot of the Assassin's Creed games, especially recently, bosses or opponents, right, ops that you play against, they'll have a rating over their head. And if you just start out the game and you go and try and fight somebody with, like, a rating way higher than you currently sit at, right? You start the game at one, you'll have bosses and characters whose ratings sit at, like, in the way up there. I think it almost goes up to the hundreds in the most recent Assassin's Creed games. And if you try to play against one of those bosses whose rankings are way better than you, it is one or two hits and it's over, right? It is one or two hits, and you're like, oh, okay, all right, I'm done, all right, cool. And what you wind up having to do, right, is wandering around the world and upgrade your character and upgrade your equipment and get better at playing the game and all that stuff. And then eventually you can make your way into those regions with those characters that are leveled way higher than you used to be. And then depending on how good you are at the game, you can beat those characters. And that's essentially what this series has been, is the Lakers are just starting out really in the Luka Doncic era. They are literally just starting out in the Mark Walter era. And they have a lot of work to catch up to the big bad boss that the Oklahoma City Thunder have become, both as a current roster, but also probably more importantly, as an organization outright. And this series, when it's all said and done, can either be the beginning of Rob Pelinka and the people who he employs getting their shit together and working to catch up to where the Oklahoma City Thunder currently reside, or this could be the series or the beginning of that process that Mark Walter takes a look at the Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss and that cast of characters and says, all right, I got to upgrade, and we'll see what direction this path eventually leads to. But I do think this series is absolutely critical, and that it's taught us how far the Lakers have to go. And so to like Thunder fans who were saying, oh, you're disrespecting this, and dude, I don't like watching Shai Gilgeous-Alexander play. I don't like watching the Oklahoma City Thunder play. I think they game the system and they've bastardized my favorite sport, and the referees play along, right? They get fooled. That doesn't mean I don't think they're good. That doesn't mean I think they're fraudulent. That doesn't even mean I think that they have to do that stuff to win. Part of what drives me nuts is that the significantly better team resorts to that nonsense, right? It would be like watching Mike Tyson fight Joe Schmo, right? Some random dude, and then kick that dude in the nuts. They like, what? Just beat his ass the way that we know that you could beat that guy's ass. This series has taught me that maybe the Lakers need to head down that path and maximize their opportunity at winning series like this, by way of some of those shenanigans, or they need to get so good that they don't have to do those things and they can beat the Thunder or the Spurs or the Wolves or the Nuggets straight up. But in a second, I'm going to get into, Austin, because I think there's an interesting conversation going on around him. But kind of more generally, the game played out the way that it did. Rui was excellent again. LeBron looked exhausted, 48 hours after playing in the recent game, with some of that time taken up by travel. Marcus Smart was a little, quiet again. Ayton was brutal. Hayes was brutal, to the point where I have basically decided the starting point of this offseason is the center position. But overall, the game was the game. Lakers got their butt kicked, and now it's about, depending on how tomorrow goes, which I think we kind of know how it's probably going to go. Now the work begins to level up your character, get back to this region at some point, soon, hopefully, and test out your skills and test out the upgrades that you amass over the time between now and whenever it is you see this Thunder team again. Really quickly, D-Russ, the legend, love Assassin's Creed, but prefer the old school versions with Altair and Ezio. The Ezio storyline is probably my favorite collection of video games maybe ever. Just incredible storytelling, beautiful game. I know that they're going back and they're redoing Black Flag, but I would love for them to go back and do exactly what they're doing with Black Flag, but with the Ezio storyline. I'm with you though, as far as the Assassin's Creed games. Like I would like for Assassin's Creed and their developers to kind of go back to more stealth. I think the worst versions of this game are the hack and slash versions. One thing that was kind of fun about this one is that you kind of got to choose either or. You could be this tank as I'm forgetting what the character's name is. You could either be a tank or you can be an assassin. And depending on what level you were playing or which spot did you like, that was kind of a fun wrinkle. But I would kind of like to see them really focus on upgrading the stealth version of this game, putting all of their chips and all of their eggs into that basket, and seeing if you can get better that way. All right, so let's go ahead and talk about Austin. And so Austin yesterday was doing something interesting. Now he finished the game 39 minutes, 17 points. He shot 5 of 13 from the field, 1 of 5 from 3-point range. Did get to the free throw line 8 times and made 6 of those. He also dished out 9 assists. But also dished out 5 turnovers. And I think, you know, in going back and watching it, the comparison or the contrast between the results of plays where Austin stayed in control, got to the free throw line, got into that like mid-range area, and either, you know, dished out some kind of a pass or looked for his mid-range jumper, that version of Austin was just so much better than the Austin who kept on trying to put his head down and get all the way to the rim. He was also, you know, spent basically the whole game visibly frustrated with the referees. I did think eventually he got kind of carried away, and that kind of took his focus away from the game itself. But I walk away from this game in this series asking one question, and it's nothing against Austin personally. It's a difficult question to answer because I think we kind of sort of all know the response, but I keep on asking myself, is it possible for the Lakers to get as athletic as they need to get, as quick as they need to get, as explosive as they need to get, as physical as they need to get, while you employ an Austin Reeves and Luka Doncic backcourt? And like in this game, AJ Mitchell was running circles around Austin, offensively and defensively. And he's on a 3-year, $9 million contract. Austin is about to embark on probably at the minimum a 3-year, $90 million contract. And, you know, if you're competing against that team, and one of the starting points as far as like the allocation of resources across your cap sheet is Austin being paid 10 times more than AJ Mitchell, the guy who is pretty thoroughly outplayed him all series, that makes it tough to catch up in the ways that the Lakers need to catch up. So I find myself asking that question about the athleticism, about the speed and length and defense that you're seeing across, especially the Western Conference playoffs. I'm watching Spurs Wolves right now, and it's a freaking bare knuckle knockdown, drag out fight. It's in, like, I watched Kamaev and Strickland last night, the UFC fight, and Wolves Spurs is on that level, like, as far as physicality and it's just, it's crazy. And can the Lakers get to that point while you basically pay Luka and Austin $90 to $100 million per year between the two of them? I don't know, man. I probably don't think so. So Now you could say, all right, well, can you make up for that athleticism everywhere else? How? Like a center who is athletic enough to make up for those guys, you aren't just going to find that person walking around. The closest thing to that would be Jackson Hayes. He was a disaster yesterday and has been marginally playable for, if not playable for most of his playoff career. So, like, I don't know what you do with, like, that assortment of spots. You have Rui Hachimura, who has been excellent in this series, like, legitimately eye-opening how good this guy has continued to be in the playoffs. And he's been so good that I say, got to bring that guy back, which I think most people would probably agree with. But if you bring him back, that's another spot where you are probably not, or you are definitely not, as fast and athletic as you need to be, or anywhere near as fast or athletic as the Thunder are collectively. So that means all of your athleticism is going to have to reside in your small forward. But if you're going to get a small forward who can space the floor and also be that athletic, that's a damn near max level player. Do you have the assets to be able to go out and get that guy? I don't know. So, yeah, I find myself just kind of, you know, rolling through these hypotheticals and looking ahead at this Lakers offseason. And either the Lakers need to change their approach and find a way to pay Austin, but also turn him into a player who is athletic enough to compete at this level, or one of two things, preferably both, happen. Luka and Austin come back next year and are knock down unconscious three-point shooters, off the dribble, off the catch, automatic. They have to be at that level if they want to mitigate against the athletic deficiency or deficit that they are playing at night in, night out. Or those guys, or preferably and those guys, show up in even better shape than they were this year and sincerely focus on defense over the course of the season so that you can be as good as you can possibly be offensively to keep up with OKC, but also not leak points by way of teams targeting Luka and Austin. And if this is the zillion-dollar question that I know you guys have for any time I ask for questions, are those things possible? Are those things realistic? Is that something that the Lakers should hope for? Legitimately don't know, which probably means no.